Welcome back to A Slut's Guide to Happiness, where your body is perfectly imperfect, and it's safe to be as sexual, kinky, queer, or slutty as you want. I am your host, Vanessa Cliff, and you know I love dressing up for you, so today I have on a shirt to support your confident, brave slut path, which is super relevant to what we're talking about today. So it says, let's see if you can see it here, I never dreamed I'd grow up to be a super sexy unicorn, but here I am killing it. So, ladies and gents and other folks, whenever anyone tries to shame your slut sexuality, just toss your unicorn mane and hold that horn up high. So outside of my unicorn rainbow life, I am also CEO of Cliff Media, which, as you know, if you've been listening to the podcast or you've seen our website, is a female and queer-led production company that invites all enthusiastically consenting adults to participate in scenes. We film content that explores the same themes as in this podcast: healthy non-monogamy, loving kink, joyful community, and empowered female and queer sexuality. And let me tell you, we just recently wrapped up one of our largest shoots in Cliff Media history, and it was significant because of who was there. It was the first time we were able to deeply integrate queer and straight folks in one space. So tens of people, about half queer and half cis straight people, came together to produce two really silly, fun, creative, sexy scenes led by a team of scripted and directed by a team of trans and queer performers who directed from within the scene, and the energy was fucking incredible. Also, I knew before and I knew during the time, because lots of people told me and because I can, you know, we can read body language of each other, that this was kind of scary for a lot of folks. Coming into a huge orgy scene, on camera, with people you don't normally interact with people whose identities or bodies you may not normally want to interact with, that's a lot to tackle emotionally at once. And it's beautiful to release those fears, to release the idea that you can't do this, you can't interact with these people, you can't perform, you can't be seen naked, you can't be on the internet, you can't have group sex, you can't interact with queer people or interact with straight people, depending on who you are, that you can't have sex with people outside of the normal gender and sexual orientation range that you've been told you can have, that you can't step into this whole other box, this whole other world for you. And so people bravely showing up there is incredible. And I know a lot of people were very understandably nervous, and I spoke with folks there about transforming that nervousness into excitement. So one thing that I do before shoots, before speaking, before going into parties or situations where it's going to be intimidating, rather than ignoring the butterflies, the beating heart, the sweaty palms, rather than trying to tell myself, nope, I got this, I'm not nervous, no big deal, this is no big deal, I actually lean into it. I'm like, oof, I'm nervous. And then I think about it as like, wow, fuck yes, I'm nervous, because I'm pushing myself to do something new and huge and exciting in my life. Like, I am living a life big enough that I get to experience nervousness. And that nervousness becomes exciting. And that's not me trying to convince myself. That's the authentic truth. That is exciting that I have chosen to do something that makes me nervous. There's a Nobel Prize winning Liberian politician, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. And she has said something that I often refer to: if your dreams do not scare you, they are not big enough. So the fear can actually be an indicator that you are on the right path, that you are building towards a bigger, bolder version of yourself, towards a freer version of yourself and your life. And I love, 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 love seeing people being brave. So today we're going to talk about a similar-ish topic around the concept of addressing your fears, confronting your fears, leaning into them, although in a context that may be more familiar to most people. Sex and relationships can be really beautiful, life-affirming experiences, and it can also bring up a lot of tough feelings. Some examples: jealousy about your partner's interactions with other people, regardless of whether you're polyamorous or monogamous. Fear of abandonment, of being rejected or replaced, of not being good enough for your partner physically or emotionally, of being wrong or perverted in unacceptable ways. And then even on the end of the spectrum, of being the fear or the experience of being hurt or assaulted? How do you move through these fears? How do you heal after you experience hurt? How do you prevent these fears around sex and relationships and intimacy from taking over your life, from preventing you from having the very best sex and the very best intimate relationships that you could be having in the best version of your life? So in this episode, I'm going to talk about an unconventional approach to responding to these tough feelings. I want to acknowledge upfront that while this approach has been radically transformative for me in my life, it's definitely not for everyone. Many of my partners and friends have expressed their interest in a different method of addressing their fears, something that I honor, that I think it's important that everyone go through their own process in addressing their fears. And mostly, I've heard from other partners and friends wanting to assuage these fears with reassurance, avoiding triggers, and pursuing healthier alternatives. So I want to describe first what is the more normative approach to addressing fears that come up through sex and relationships, and then I'll hop over to what I am proposing that I have found that really works for me. So that desire to assuage fears makes a lot of sense. Like, you want to care for somebody that you love by helping them to ease through these difficult feelings. And it's a really common way to approach these challenges. So for example, if you're feeling afraid of rejection, you might want your partner to affirm that they want you. If you're feeling jealous, you may want to limit your partner's engagement with other people. You may avoid talking about your partner's other partners or other sexual encounters, or you may ask for affirmation from your partner about their interest in you. You may try to do things that to make it less scary, like meeting your partner's partners or asking your partner to spend more time with you. Or if you're feeling afraid that your sexual desires might be perceived as inappropriate, you may avoid talking about those desires, or you may ask for affirmation from your partner that those desires are okay. And if you're feeling fear of being assaulted, whether that's for the first time or again, because it's already happened to you, you may ask a partner to avoid words or sex acts that trigger memories of assaults or circumstances where you think you might be assaulted, or even avoid those circumstances out in the real world. These are all completely normal, common responses to fear. Self-protection, keeping yourself safe and whole in a world that is dangerous and difficult sometimes. As a poly relationship anarchist, I don't give in to requests to limit my interactions with other people, but I do love offering reassurance and support to partners in all these other ways if that's what they want. But what I have found that has worked for me most recently has been radically different. So instead of avoiding the outcome I fear, or seeking reassurance that the fear itself is unnecessary, I lean into the fear. I say, world, fucking bring it on. What if every part of my fear is true? What if the worst happens? Put it in my face, rub it in, give me all of it, make me terrified. And then I find, so what? I survive. We survive. Remember how I mentioned nervous and excitement feel similar in the body? That's the same thing with terror and arousal. Think about it. When you're absolutely terrified, you get what we call a sinking feeling in the stomach. Energy flows downward. When you're turned on, you get a tingling feeling in your genitals. Energy flows downward. In both cases, your heart is racing and your breath changes. So terror and arousal, sexual arousal, are very similar experiences in the body, and you can lean into the experience mirroring each other. I intentionally lean into fear and ask for the things that scare me the most. But I'm also asking it of the people who make me feel the most loved and safe, and often while fucking in an environment in a container that feels loved and safe. So that while we're rehearsing what might have felt like the apocalypse before, but in the safe container of a loving relationship and connected sex, where I can collapse into fear and lose myself for a minute and an hour, it changes the meaning of those fears. What was once fear becomes associated with arousal, desire, connection, love, flow state, survival, and personal power. I become stronger and the fear loses potency. I'm going to share a few examples of how this has worked for me. I'll start with some examples around jealousy, because this comes up all the time in relationships. Although I've been poly for more than a decade, I struggled with jealousy a lot until about 2 years ago. I often hear people say, oh, I couldn't do poly, I'd be so jealous. Well, people who are polyamorous aren't necessarily any better at jealousy or any less jealous. It's just that they have chosen a relationship where they're going to talk openly about jealousy with their partner and commit to working on it. Hopefully, that's the path to a healthy polyamorous relationship. And as much as it feels like it sometimes in the moment, it turns out that jealousy actually doesn't kill you. Acting aggressively or disrespectfully in response to the jealousy can be a death toll for relationships, sure, but the feeling in itself is normal. It's all about what you do with it. So in previous relationships, I took a more traditional approach to managing jealousy. I'd ask partners for more time together, especially if they just spent a lot of time with their other partners. I'd ask for reassurance we're still okay, that they still wanted me. I'd ask to avoid hearing stories about sex or dates with other partners. About 2 years ago, I found this new approach, eroticizing fear. So cucking is one example of this. And there are a lot of different ways cucking can look. Sometimes, I think especially in the stereotype of cucking, it's about humiliation. In this stereotype, people might imagine that a guy with a big dick is fucking someone's wife while insulting the dick size of the husband. If dick size insecurity is your fear, A, I love your dick anyway. B, maybe that specific manifestation of cucking does work for you. But it doesn't have to look that way. Gender dynamics and humiliation are all optional, depending on what is your thing. But in essence, cucking is about eroticizing your partner having sex with other people. So I have a lot of cuck queen fantasies. Cuck queen, the word for a woman who was cucked by their partner. One of my partners and I play with this a lot. So he'll come over after fucking some other guy or girl and make me taste their cunt or ass off his dick. He'll tell me intimate details about he and the other person he fucked. And the more kink or emotional or hot it was, the better. Depending on how I'm feeling on a certain day and what the nature of my partner's connection was, sometimes I just easily get off on it, more out of compersion, like the happiness that comes from experiencing someone else's joy. But if it's someone that my partner is really connected to, or if it's a new kinky experience, I'm scared at first, and that fear itself is what gets me off. What he's telling me about, I don't ever want reassurance. I don't want to hear that it wasn't that good, that I'm any better, that I'm better than that person, or even that my partner isn't going away. I want their excitement about the encounter and sexual connection with someone else to be up in my face. Tell me how deeply you came in her. Tell me how good his mouth felt in you. And then as that fear melts into arousal, I realize two things. One, that actually this thing I was afraid of is fucking hot. And B, I'm stronger than my... One, B. And two, I'm stronger than my fears. I get to choose what they mean. And I choose to make them a source of my own pleasure. The more I play with this, the fewer experiences I have that create fear. My partner can now give anonymous blowjobs or cream pie his friends with benefits without it triggering anything in me. It's still super hot to hear about, but it doesn't bring up that whooshing feeling of fear in my gut anymore. But there are always growing edges. So my partner and I have agreed we have no relationship boundaries. Any sex acts or words can be used with anyone else, in huge part because I deeply value freedom. And I think there's some authenticity to it. We say this because we know that we're going to connect with other people in the world, so we might as well support each other in the process as we explore that with other people. And still, some sex acts or words used with other people are hurt at first. For example, I love calling my partner daddy, and it's something super intimate for us that took a long time for us to get to in our relationship. So when my partner sent me an audio recording of him calling another guy daddy, I really struggled with it. I had to stop the recording. I even felt a little angry. I didn't express the anger because I know it's irrational. It's not like he violated a boundary. We didn't have a boundary related to the use of the word. It's just the body self-protecting, trying to make sense of the fear in a way that keeps me safe by externalizing it. But later that night, my partner and I talked about it while fucking, and I asked him, he made me listen to the whole 20-minute audio recording because it's confronting fear. I came hard over and over as we talked about it, as we moved through it. Then I put on a strap on and fucked him, make him call me daddy. I asked him to keep calling other guys daddy. Like, I want this in life now. I asked him to fuck a guy and call him daddy while I lie in bed and masturbate next to him. So I want to take that fear, that thing that made me angry, that I was afraid of, that I definitely thought was way too intimate for us to have with other people, and dive into it like go hard, find the guys, go all the way, approach with a yes and. As a result, I'm now totally okay with my partner calling other guys daddy, even when we're not eroticizing it, because we went through that process. It's now connected in my brain to something positive, to desire and arousal. Sometimes it can bring up a little bit of to tingle, but mostly the fear is gone and definitely the anger isn't there anymore. I'm just turned on by it. I want it. The last example of this approach to fear is something that involves discussion of assaults and consensual non-consent. So I want to name, if your approach is avoiding triggering subjects around assault, I deeply support however you best take care of yourself. So feel free to skip on to a different episode now. But if you'd like to stay with us, I'll dive in. So from a very young age, I have been afraid of assaults by an anonymous intruder. I don't really know why this became such an ingrained fear, but I do remember that as young as 8 years old, I would make sure to dress in full pajamas and hold the blanket up to my neck so that if someone did come in the house, I would be more protected. This is irrational. Like, the blanket and my clothes would not have stopped someone anyway, but it gave me a sense of comfort. I don't really know where this came from because I was never assaulted earlier in my life, but I was later at age 16 and then repeatedly raped in a domestic violence situation around the age of 25. Of course, I would not wish these situations on anyone, but I do think the process of surviving through them made me stronger. This was especially true in the experience of repeated rape by an ex-partner turned housemate because of the way that I responded to the situation and the narrative that it changed about myself. I was an impossible situation. I creatively struggled my way through and I eventually escaped independently and found my way to a happy life. So the experience of rape in itself, or really how I responded to it, was helpful in undoing my fear of rape because what I feared happened and I still survived anyway. I know that it won't kill me. And yet somehow, because fear lives in the body in interesting ways, up until about 2 years ago, I could not fall asleep without underwear on because of that lingering sense in my body that at least something covering me would make me at least a little safer in case someone came in at night to attack me. So a couple years ago, my partner and I started playing with consensual non-consent. And I want to clarify that this is a play with someone that I have given consent for these activities, that it is entirely different than rape because I am saying, I may not want it right now, but in general, I want to be pushed in these ways. So consensual non-consent, or CNC, has taken lots of different forms. Sometimes he would role play assault, just us one-on-one, where he would pretend to be the intruder. Sometimes he forces me to have sex with him or with other people, even after I am physically and emotionally exhausted, like a broken fuck doll, even crying or nearly immobile. And sometimes he'll arrange other people to come fuck me unannounced, even if it startles me, even if I wasn't expecting it, even if I was tired and don't want it. Haven't quite gotten to the part where they come and fuck me while I'm asleep, but that's still a fantasy for me. And it's important to note that all of these things are consensual non-consent, meaning that I've given blanket consent to use me in any way he wants, with anyone he wants. He's not doing things that I don't want in the broad sense. I just didn't specifically desire those experiences in the moment. But I have come hard later thinking about these experiences. It was very much an erotic experience for me. And it's maybe a little bit difficult to explain to a general audience the desirability of getting used in a way you don't want in the moment. It's counterintuitive to a traditional vanilla understanding of consent. But if it is an experience you actively want with the right person, with someone you love and trust deeply, with whom you have given that blanket consent and who can help you to make it an empowering experience, then I've found it to be incredibly healing. So now, if someone intrudes in the house, so what? And I don't mean so what in a flippant sense, but also I've experienced that in a loving container of practicing role-playing it, that people came in, intruders came in that I wasn't expecting and I was not ready for sex, right? And so it has that same feeling of this is a thing that I've experienced before. Maybe it's obnoxious, it's fucked up, maybe it's dangerous, still definitely shouldn't happen, still definitely don't want it to happen. But if it does, I know what to do. I I'll cry with someone that I love and care about. I'll go get STI tested, and I know that I'm gonna be okay. Been there, done that, still fucked up, but still me, still loved, still happy, still okay. So now, for the first time in my life, because I know that I will survive through anything, I sleep naked and I don't need the covers pulled up to my neck. It's really important to me that this is a difficult subject to talk about, because I'm talking about my personal healing process and everyone's healing is super individual, and because in no way am I advocating for or condoning rape or assault. In fact, the role play that I've described works only because I'm actually the one in charge. I'm in charge because I gave that blanket consent and I can revoke it at any time. I don't revoke it with that person because I enjoy being pushed to my emotional limits, finding my boundaries and moving them. And so when people talk about that line between abuse and kink, it's not narrow. It's not confusing. It is about enthusiastic consent. It is opposite ends of the spectrum. Over here, do I want to be raped by a random person or someone I don't want to fuck? Hell no. Do I want my partner or whoever he decides to arrange for me to roleplay raping me? Hell yes. The same actions, perhaps, but a world apart. And so experiencing consensual non-consent, the hell yes, assault in the context of a choice that I made, where I'm ultimately in charge, where I'm acting with the intimate container of a loving relationship, that hell yes experience takes away the power of the hell no, takes away the power of assault in contexts that I don't actually want. So that power remains mine. Whether the struggle is around jealousy, fear of replacement, rejection or abandonment, or even fear of assault. This approach that I found helpful is similar to a psychological intervention called exposure therapy, in which people confront their fears by gradually exposing them to it in a safe environment. In this case, the safe container of a relationship. The difference is simply adding sexuality to the approach. So whatever you fear, after you've experienced it, it's less scary. Maybe you can even find ways to make it hot, arousing, a source of joy or connection. Perhaps that means you can let go of trying to limit your partner, release some of those relationship rules that you made up. You can laugh and come hard together instead of crying through long conversations and trying to assuage the fear over and over. You can both have full sexual lives with each other and with other people. You can go out and live your life, your full life, without fear of assault. You can interact with whoever you want without worrying about what they might do to you. Because you've already been there. You've already felt the fear and done it anyway. That sexual energy transmuted those fears into pleasure and personal power. This has been another edition of A Slut's Guide to Happiness with your host, Vanessa Cliff. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple and Spotify, as well as on VanessaCliff.com. Thanks for diving deep and going heavy with me today. I think it's beautiful that we find all the different ways to get free. Please help us to get sex positive love and healing out to more people. Like and share this podcast and stay tuned for more deep dives, sometimes silly, sometimes deep, into beautiful, messy waters. If you're over the age of 18, you can check out our video content on our website at VanessaCliff.com. And I invite you to join us in the pleasure of being awkwardly human, naked, and without pretense. Let's get free.